Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound. And you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. It's settled. We now know that Edinburgh are the first winners of the Italian Scottish Shield, and they took home the 1872 Cup as well. Matt, what a victory for Edinburgh. Do you think the city is now finally united behind this team?
I mean, I thought they'd united it last year, but I think those old rivalries between Portobello and Castorfin, they run deep.
It was nice to see the... Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still not quite sure if the final chapter has been finished.
Yeah.
Is that the end of the 1872 Cup? Is that what they're implying?
It's the never-ending story. There's just always...
Exactly, yeah. It's
like, it is.
There's always a final chapter.
Always. So do you think Edinburgh will be doing an open top bus tour through the city with the two trophies, Alan?
I think the answer is 100% no. I think the real question is, if they did do it and you had sort of Ben Vellacourt, you know, Kinghorn sort of popping bottles on top of like a Lothian bus, how many people are coming out for it? Bearing in mind that a lot of these happen sort of during the day on a Monday.
Ian Wallace definitely driving that bus as well.
That would be great.
That would be great. We think in three figures.
I think you just have to do the Murrayfield mile from Murrayfield back up into town and just time it so it's like lunchtime. So all of like the offices at like the West End are sort of spilling out to make it look like there's a few more people. But they're obviously just like sort of not there for the actual parade.
Nice.
We're going to do a little bit of news. We'll come back to the big Edinburgh versus Glasgow game at the weekend and look forward to the quarterfinals of the URC and talk about what that result means for things next season for both the teams. But let's start off with a little bit of news. I'm not sure. I think we missed it just by sort of a few hours the last time we recorded. But Matt, Hugh Jones, obviously coming back to Glasgow after a year at Harlequins. I guess, what do you make of this signing? Obviously, he's sort of fallen out of favour, but he's been showing signs of form, playing 15 for Quins. You know, what do you think it tells us about Glasgow for next season?
Yeah, I was pretty surprised when I saw the news, just because, as you say, he seems to be playing pretty well at Harlequins and getting a lot more game time in their bigger matches in the Prem. And it seems like he's a pretty popular player there at the moment. I wonder if the draw of a World Cup in particular was enough to bring him back to Glasgow. Because probably if you look at Glasgow versus Quins at the moment, they're on slightly different trajectories. So yeah, I was pretty surprised, but I think it shows a little, like, it's good for the fans. It shows like confidence in the team. It shows backing in the team, because he is that sort of blockbuster player.
We sort of discussed it. Normally in signings, you at least see sort of like the clear motivation from one side, one party, whether it's the player or the club. And I think when the signing first came out, it was actually a little bit hard to see why either side was like happy with this deal. Yeah. And I think with Jones, obviously you don't know what's happening at Quins, but to your point, you know, he's ultimately sort of starting in a lot of big matches, and you know, ultimately he seems to be enjoying that sort of culture down there. But to your point, you know, maybe he's missed out on the World Cup. You'd imagine that 2023 is going to be his last opportunity to add a World Cup potentially. So maybe he sees this as just sort of the best way to progress in that space. From a Glasgow standpoint, though, you know, looking even at the match this weekend, doesn't quite feel that the backs is where that sort of investment is needed? Or do you think maybe it sort of shows a little bit of a lack of faith in, I guess, ultimately the depth at the centre and 15?
I agree. I think that Glasgow are probably fairly stacked at, particularly in the back three. I think there's a lot of players there, Mackay, McLean, Forbes, Ollie Smith, who can almost like play across probably all of those back three positions. But there is Ollie Smith as a specialist fullback. So to me, that suggests that Jones is being signed as a 13, which when you consider they've, you know, you've got Johnson, you've got Tupelotu, you know, maybe it makes sense adding a bit more depth in that position. I think the issue with, maybe, and we'll come on to it, with Glasgow at the weekend, was they've got some exciting players in the back line, but they weren't able to get them into it at all. So I think it depends on whether they can actually make the most of Jones, because we know what he's like at his best. And I think he's, whilst his time at Glasgow wasn't actually probably, it was a bit underwhelming, I think in fits and bursts, he showed how classy he can be.
Well, one area that at the weekend where Glasgow were found wanting was up front, and they are looking to bolster that area for next season. They've announced this week signing of Sintu Manjezi from the Bulls. He's described as a back five forward, I think largely plays in the second row, but that suggests that they think he can maybe do a shift in the back row as well. Alan, I don't suppose you know too much about our man Sintu, but does it tell anything about sort of, I guess, the strategy for Glasgow and how they're looking to sort of attack their weaknesses for next year?
Sort of just taking a page out of a lot of the kind of Premiership club playbook, whether it's sort of Saracens, Leicester, Sale have all done it, where ultimately when you're sort of feeling a little bit underpowered up front and you sort of need a bit of time to kind of build up those capabilities in kind of yourself, you sort of just like ship in a couple of big slabs of meat from South Africa to help kind of shore yourself up. And to be fair, like, you know, I guess generally Scotland and Edinburgh have done a little bit more of this, especially kind of in the front row. And whilst I sort of appreciate this, you know, you get sort of the usual kind of anger, I think, from fans around, you know, this is sort of stopping players getting a chance. I think what one of the things has shown this year is especially around that back five, as if that's in, of the forwards, Glasgow don't have the strength and depth. And that includes both a lot of the senior players and youngsters coming through. You know, people like Brown can be good, but ultimately they're not ready to, or I don't believe right yet they're ready to sort of be starting in, you know, in these sort of games against like a Munster, a Leinster, an Ulster, etc.
Well, you just have to look at the weekend. I mean, that second row, and again, we'll come through the 1872 later, but a second row of Rob Harley and Richie Gray, two players that are towards the very tail end of their careers, you would say. You know, it's not, it is an area where they need to improve if they're going to stay at the top end of the league.
I guess also two South African players that probably aren't going to play for South Africa and aren't going to be away. So yeah, you've kind of got them for the sort of full stretch of the season.
Yeah.
It may be the signings, if you look at them as a whole, maybe just reflects where Glasgow are at the moment. Maybe they're not as an attractive a proposition as it used to be. If you think about it, you've got a guy from the Bulls who hasn't actually played much rugby recently. And with the caveat that you could have said the same about Jack Dempsey, that he was injury prone, but he's been great. JP Dupree can't get into the Sale team, and Vailanu has been, like, you know, moved between a lot of Premiership clubs. Maybe, as I say, that's just the market at the moment, and that's what Glasgow, that's all Glasgow can really do.
Do you remember when we were chatting about buying Aaron Cruden? Those were great times.
Yeah, because he was mates with Dave Rennie.
Mates with Dave Rennie.
Yeah.
I think sort of historic
days.
Yeah, I think looking back at it, I think that was, I remember Hugh Jones was probably the most surprising one when he sort of first came, because I was kind of a little bit like, you just didn't really expect Glasgow to be buying, bringing in yeah. players who were established at international level and hadn't become established in Scotland when playing club rugby in Scotland. But no, I think you're potentially right that both from a sort of attractiveness standpoint, I'm not sure Glasgow has the same sort of heft it had 4 or 5 years ago. The only other thing was that I did think that they might have a little bit more to sort of be able to play with in the market, just given the fact that salaries in England and France are getting a little bit, are sort of being pushed down. So you've seen quite a few sort of big signings from a few of like the Welsh provinces, like Fifita, etc., sort of going there. So clearly, I think the URC does have a little bit more weight in the market versus sort of France and England versus where it used to sort of 5-6 years ago. But that hasn't really translated into any sort of big kind of foreign signings from sort of Edinburgh or Glasgow. Dodson, man, he's keeping his eyes on the pennies. Can't be getting too exuberant right now.
Absolutely. Well, and down the other end of the MA, nothing brand new, but a couple of stalwarts have renewed for Edinburgh. Pierre Schoeman and Mark Bennett both sort of locked in for the next couple of years there. I think Matt, particularly with Schoeman, I think Edinburgh will be very happy to have kept him under sort of lock and key for the next couple of years.
Yeah, it's a pretty big signing. I kind of speculated in the newsletter that I would have expected there to be interest from England, or maybe France in particular, actually. Just because he's been so good for Edinburgh and has proved at that international level that he can cut it. So he just loves playing. He just loves living in Edinburgh, representing the city. It's just so wholesome. It's like, just
loves the Gunners.
Absolute obsession. Yeah, exactly. Loves the Gunners. Love to see it. So yeah, it's a really good bit of business, I think. And long-term deal, whatever that means. 3 years, presumably.
I think 3 years. Do you feel like of all of Edinburgh's players, he would be the one that was most coveted kind of in France and England, etc.?
I think he would suit the game in France. Like, they, you know, love kind of Saffo props. I could see him like being signed by Montpellier, for instance.
Yeah, for sure. And him absolutely loving it.
Oh, yeah. Him becoming like, you know, getting the keys to the city of Montpellier.
And then obviously Mark Bennett, you know, a huge sort of breakthrough star back in like 2015, which is a really long time ago now, but he seems to now be really sort of back reaching those heights. Alan, so another good one to keep in Edinburgh.
Well, I think Bennett's real breakthrough was when he came up against me and Matt Haney in 2011, and we showed him a thing or two. Couple of wise.
I'm sure he did plenty of breaking through your horrible defense.
Yeah,
I was directly marking him that day, and yeah. I only played a half. And look, I might have selective memories of it, but he didn't get past me. Stuart Hogg, on the other hand, he was jogging around all of us.
But no, to your point, you know, ultimately he's clearly gone through sort of quite significant peaks and troughs sort of through sort of that 2014-2015 period where he was both for sort of club and country like pretty standout player, and then had this sort of trough, especially sort of between, you know, 2017-2019, didn't make the World Cup. And now it's a difficult one, I guess. I think if you were to pinpoint probably the two most consistent centres, Scottish centres, you'd probably go for him and Chris Harris. I guess just the annoyance is that doesn't feel like they can particularly sort of play together in the centre. So it's just how does Bennett and can Bennett actually get into that Scotland team if he sort of continues to play at the level he does? Because I think, you know, whilst he only had sort of a few moments with the ball on Saturday, I think it was quite clear to see that, you know, he just is a world-class player.
Yeah, well, we'll hopefully get to see plenty of him this summer on the tour. You'd hope that he'd get some game time there, maybe trying out some new combinations that we haven't seen in the centre for Scotland. But that's the news section over. Let's go back and have a look at the 1872 Cup game from the weekend. As I say, a fairly comfortable victory for Edinburgh in the end, 28 points to 11. They take the inaugural Italian-Scottish Shield, but also they overcome the 13-point deficit to take the 1872 Cup, and they have won for themselves a trip to Cape Town, a long weekend in Cape Town to play against the Stormers in the quarterfinals of the URC. I mean, Matt, I think we were all watching it, but were you impressed with Edinburgh, or was it a case that Glasgow just weren't up to snuff?
I think Edinburgh always looked the better side. And I think about sort of 40, 45 minutes in, it was a question of whether they would kick on or whether it would remain a bit of a scrappy affair and Glasgow would stick in. But I think Edinburgh's quality told in the end. I think that they had the edge up front, and the backs just did the really simple things well. And yeah, I think the set piece was solid.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
They took the try as well. It was maybe like a kind of 7 out of 10 performance, which I suppose is encouraging, and I think Edinburgh can be a lot better than that. In terms of Glasgow, like, they're always going to stick in. It's that derby match, and they were clearly up for it at the start, but it was kind of a combination of like poor discipline, like, you know, encapsulated probably by Rob Harley getting sin bin for just that stupid bit of like petty play, Ryan Wilson getting done for silly off the ball stuff, and then when they actually got the ball, it was sort of pretty lateral, go a bit left, go a bit right, run out of ideas, put in a pretty average kick. It just didn't seem as if Glasgow had much direction. And you know, when Edinburgh started to build up the lead, you couldn't really see Glasgow coming back into it.
Felt a bit bad for Harley when he was coming off. It's like basically his final ever game in Scotland.
Ryan Danny Wilson was asked about it, and I think if it hadn't, he was like, look, I've got a lot of respect for this guy. He's given so much to the club. I'm not going to, you know, bag him for it.
Do you want to bag him on Danny Wilson's behalf, Alan? Or
nah, I mean, it was dumb, right? I guess one of the annoyances with, I guess, Glasgow and the sort of, especially sort of some of the sort of Glasgow senior players this season is, I think, you know, ultimately, when you've got these sort of people in place, you're sort of hoping that they are the sort of wise heads or the ones that are able to, you traditionally get away with kind of like illegal play, but in a sort of way that they get away with it. And one of the annoying things, it seems like we've got these guys, but if anything, they're more likely to get caught than your sort of normal players. I don't know. Like these, I think they seem to think that they're sort of like these masters of the dark arts, but it never really seems to actually translate into the match. And I think, yeah, it was particularly annoying for, I imagine, for Danny Wilson, just because, to your point there was this sort of 10 minutes post halftime where Edinburgh really kind of shifted gear and were really sort of applying the pressure. And I think sort of between 50 and 60 minutes, there was a few opportunities for Glasgow to try and sort of switch that momentum around. And actually a lot of the reason why they weren't able to do that was because of just silly mistakes from especially sort of senior players, which meant they sort of had to give up territory, etc. So I imagine sort of deeply frustrating. And obviously Danny Wilson's knows he's like under a little bit of pressure as well.
And then Matt, and say, you say that the Edinburgh team, you know, the backs in particular did the simple things well. Are you describing Chris Dean's no-look pass as simple? Or was that really the touch of a world-class, soon-to-be international rugby player?
I mean, it was lovely. He did all the simple things extremely well and then added a little flourish with that no-look pass. And even in the build-up, his switch with Bennett was exactly how you're coached to do a switch at school. Like, running straight first, bit of footwork, fixing the defender, take it to the line. Yeah, it's just, it was poetry in motion, I think.
You think that grubber was meant to be picked up by Darcy Graham, or was it just a sort of grubber to the corner?
Well, I can't comprehend the that guy's rugby ability and vision. So, you know, I trust him on it.
But another strong performance from Blair Kinghorn as well, try scoring. Just seems to have a knack and an ability to create a little bit of space. He's got long arms, seems to get his hands free quite a lot, which was sort of pretty helpful in the build-up to the first try. And I think he's now Edinburgh's joint second try scorer ever or something like that. It's quite a significant stat.
Yeah, it's like three of them tied second.
Yeah.
Sort of him, Simon Webster, and someone else with
Patterson, maybe.
Patterson, yeah.
And then Visser's like 40 tries ahead, though, isn't he? It is like there's a huge gulf.
Yeah, exactly. Doohan's like, well, obviously, kind of third after those tied up. But I think he's like try to game ratio is just like massively ahead of everyone. It's just the fact he only had like three seasons.
Yeah. I was thinking about Doohan as we talked a little bit offline. You know, money aside, you know, if you would have kept Doohan in this Edinburgh team and Rory Sutherland in this Edinburgh team, it would have been even better. And I just wonder if they're maybe not regretting their move to Worcester, but Worcester are really poor and sort of struggling for any semblance of sort of form. I know they won the Premiership Cup, but that's not much to sort of shout about.
Can't denigrate Murray McCallum winning the Premiership Cup.
I would never do anything to make fun of Magnet. I think that's on the record. But yeah.
I imagine they do regret it. And then the sort of 300 and 400 bags per annum sort of just like are a nice comfort blanket as they sort of think about that regret.
After tax, like 13, 14 grand a month dropping into your paycheck.
In Worcester.
15.
I know.
Yeah, in Worcester, yeah. You actually struggle to spend it.
Buy like a country pile. I think Doohan in particular is probably already putting out some feelers for a move to France.
Yeah, I feel like he's got a Toulon written all over him. They're sort of in a little bit of a rebuild. And he would tear it up, to be fair. So
yeah, he scored a lot of tries, missed a lot of tackles.
going back to Glasgow, there, obviously late consolation score from Ollie Smith. We touched on him there when we were talking about Hugh Jones, but Alan, he seems to be sort of finding his feet at this level and really exciting prospects.
Absolutely. And I think it's one of these weird ones where, I'd probably put it similar to sort of Ross Thompson a little bit, where it feels like Ollie Smith's been chatted about for quite a while, whether it's through sort of under-20s or with Ayr and then obviously up with sort of the Super Six. And I think a lot of people, and especially people sort of who were talking to us, were saying he just needs an opportunity for a bit of game time for Glasgow. And he'll be an absolute superstar. And again, he just, for some reason, I think it felt a little bit like they were a bit reticent to sort of ship him into that first team. But now he's sort of come in, I genuinely do think he looks like more of a natural sort of professional rugby player than even someone like sort of a Rufus McLean. I know Rufus McLean's got the pure speed, but Ollie Smith just looks so comfortable on the ball. And I'd say similar to sort of Darcy Graham, seems to be able to ride tackles or make sort of positive meters in the contact, which for someone of his size is super impressive, right?
Do you remember he made his debut at the same time as like Rufus McLean? And I think he probably was held in higher regard. But I think he might have had his first couple of games didn't exactly go to plan. So whilst Rufus McLean's career from that point like skyrocketed, culminating in the Scotland cap, Ollie Smith, you know, struggled to break through after that point. But yeah, I agree. Like when he's been given shots this season, he's been, looks like a real player, like a pretty accomplished all-round fullback. And the fact that they've moved Josh Mackay out to the wing is pretty telling.
Yeah. And I imagine if I was the SOU spokesperson, and this might not all line up, I would say, look, he was playing Prem rugby and he got shipped into Glasgow and he just didn't quite make it. And then he had a season at Super Six and he's now ready for the big time. Therefore, the Super Six is a valid concept. Can you all fuck off?
I would literally love an official statement that ended with, can you all fuck off? Be brilliant. But looking forward to the quarterfinals, let's focus on the potentially positive one, because I'm not entirely sure what we're going to get out of a conversation about Glasgow going to Leinster. But Matt, Stormers, they won the South African Shield. They've been, I think, unbeaten since sort of February, March time. But am I wrong in thinking that, you know, Edinburgh can go down there with perhaps thinking that they can get something out of this game?
I mean, part of me thinks, I don't see why not. The fact that they've already been to South Africa, won against the Sharks in like a game that probably wasn't suited to the Edinburgh style. It was a bit more about in the rain. It was a bit more about sort of grit and forward play. I think they've, you know, it's only Glasgow they've beaten, but I think they've got a decent amount of momentum behind them now. I mean, it's hard to tell. Like the South African teams like have obviously come on to a really good game and are completely different to the sides that toured the UK previously in the year, where Edinburgh and Stormers drew, if you remember. So I think the Stormers are still favourites, but if Edinburgh can get out like close to that full strength pack and give Kinghorn, etc., a decent platform, it's a big test for Kinghorn, actually. Like this could be, I mean, I think, feel like we've said it for a while, but you know, he's kind of had his chances in the big games against, you know, Wasps and Ulster, for instance. So maybe it's third time lucky here and he's able to drive them to the win.
And I guess if they do get the results, it's then a home semi-final.
Yeah.
Which is, and that won't be against, that'll be against either what, Munster or Ulster. Which I feel like away, you'd say, difficult, but actually I imagine for a lot of those Edinburgh players, they would see that as an eminently winnable match at home against both of those teams. So I think Edinburgh probably feel like they've come out of that, the kind of back end of the season where they sort of lost Ulster, etc., where, you know, it looked like the season could be coming off the rails. It feels like from that point to now, having Stormers away and then potentially a home semi-final feels like a good outcome for them.
Yeah, and then Glasgow, I mean, are we being too downbeat, Matt? Or does it feel that actually, you know, even if Glasgow can keep it respectable on the scoreboard, that will be a good result away to this Leinster team?
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath. You know, even if it was like a Munster away or an Ulster, I think that Glasgow showing that on their day, they can at least get close to the sides, if not beat them. Whereas I think Leinster just... the Scottish teams have struggled against them massively in recent years. And, you know, I think Leinster could probably still play like, I don't think they'll play a second or third string team, but I think they could rest players, rotate guys in and still have enough for Glasgow, who, look, I don't doubt that they'll be going into that game, like wanting to be as competitive as possible, but it's been like a long, pretty difficult season for them. I don't think they'll exactly be like loving the idea, but I hope that they prove me wrong on that. But yeah, as I say, I'm not putting any money on a Glasgow win, sadly.
Keep it under 50, Alan?
Well, it's a difficult one. I guess you said at the start there that they've sort of struggled with Leinster. I guess the last time Glasgow were really sort of competing with Leinster was probably the back end of those sort of Dave Rennie years. Where was that, the year where I think they went out and they won away at Dublin? And obviously then just missed out in the final. It's an interesting one, I guess. Look, I think, you know, Leinster ultimately put Munster away with what is broadly a second team last week. You know, they've got La Rochelle this week, and then they're going to have sort of, hopefully then, quarterfinal, semifinal, final. I wonder whether Leinster will sort of weigh it all up and decide to put out a second team just because of sort of player management, etc. You know, Sexton's not going to play four games in a row, right? So it's an interesting one, sort of motivationally for Glasgow. I guess you're sort of looking at it and you're like, right, we've got literally obviously nothing really to lose. No one thinks we're going to be get within 20. They've got sort of 2 weeks to build up, whereas ultimately Leinster probably aren't going to start thinking about this game until sort of the Monday next week. And there's a high chance that they send out, if not a second team, then at least a very weekend first team. So bearing all that in mind, I still think Glasgow will lose quite like comfortably.
Lose comfortably.
I don't know. I just, no. You know, I think like ultimately what you've seen with like a lot of the games, especially recently, is I can very easily see like a halftime score similar to this week of sort of 13-9, you know, Glasgow managing to stay in the fight. And then, as seems to be increasingly the case for Glasgow, and that the team they're playing against is just able to sort of grab that momentum sort of at the beginning to the mid of the second half and then sort of really sort of pull away from them.
Yeah.
I just don't think there's anything you've seen recently that suggests that that isn't going to happen against even a Leinster second team.
We will see. Strange things can happen. It's a free hit for them. The expectations are so low. You never know. Stranger things have happened. So we'll be back at some stage. I personally am off for 2 weeks of holiday, so you guys are in charge, leaving you the keys to Thistle HQ. So use them very wisely. But as ever, keep in touch with us on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, on Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod, and get yourself on a Substack and subscribe to the newsletter. That's Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast on Substack. Otherwise, we will speak to you very, very soon. Cheers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.